All right, well, it comes at time for our talker tonight. And I get the pleasure of introducing her because she's an amazing woman, and she's been a really good friend of mine. I know her on the board. She's our trustee here at the church, and she does treasure. Yeah, whatever. It's one of the T words, the TR words. I don't know. I think I would know since I'm on the board, but I always say that. I don't know why. Yeah, you're switching. Yeah, don't you know that? But I get to be on the journey of doing our ministry together, and so it's really just a pleasure to be part of this woman's life. And I'm sure if you don't know her, get to know her. She's Jody Votel, and please give her a big welcome.
Oh, thank you guys for coming out to hear me. I always struggle with wanting to be here all the time, and I struggle when I miss Wednesdays, when I miss Sundays, because I know I'm missing something really good, and well, it's only wild horses that keep me away. I called Kimberly on Sunday, on Monday, and I said, I heard... I read some of the comments that people said about her talk on Sunday, so I called to tell her it was my loss. I'm sorry, I missed it, you know. So who got to hear it? Yay. Yeah. So you guys agree? Good talk?
Amazing.
Yay. So I'm going to order the tape so I can hear it too. So thank you for coming to listen to me talk. And I'm glad to get to talk and not speak. And so I wanted to share like what I've been doing, because I haven't, sometimes I'm not around very much. And I wanted to share my journey. And so I wanted to look back and see how long it's been. And I, so my talk is called, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Or it might be called Eyes Wide Shut. Or my 1.5 year journey, because I started this amazing journey of healing in December of 2012, when I went to Washington to see Rita Gray, and it just so happened. She said, "Well, you know, we're thinking about going to this movie tonight, but you know, it's up to you if you want to go." And so, what's it about? Oh, this guy called John of God, and how do you say it again? Jean Gedeus. And he's in Brazil. He's in central Brazil. And so it was at the Center for Spiritual Living up in Ferndale. And it was a woman who had been there and came back with the documentary. And she also came back with some of the healing water from the place where John of God is, at the house or the compound or the village or whatever you call it. And she took that little bit of water and added it to a few gallons of water, and everybody that was there got to drink some. And I already felt something shift when I watched this documentary. Just watching the documentary, first of all, I was mesmerized and amazed by this man. Okay, so I had trouble finding the website that I found a year ago, because there's been a lot of activity, because John of God was featured on Oprah. And so now when you Google John of God Brazil, mostly it's guided tours and private tours to go to Brazil. And I mean, my heart wanted to go there too. And I don't blame people for wanting to go, but you've got that element of now we're, you know, doing the private tours and stuff. So it was a little bit more difficult for me to look up the information. So I did go to Oprah.com. And a woman named Susan Casey had written, so I gleaned some of the stuff out of there. So at age 9, John of God predicted a storm that would destroy several houses in a nearby town. And everybody was like, eh, whatever. But then when it came true and it actually happened, they were like, hmm. And then at age 16, he had a vision of a beautiful woman who gave him the address to a spiritual center, and he went there because it was a vision, and when he got there, he fainted, and when he woke up several hours later, he was told stories about how he had healed dozens of people. And so he does never, he never takes credit for his work. He says it is God who heals. And he does, just if you watched the documentary, the way that he works is amazing. And he talks about inviting healers, past healers, John of God from, what, the 1500s, I think. And all these healers that work with him. And so these are all the people that's giving him the energy. And then when they're in this room there, you have to hold the energy. You have to stay in the room to help hold that energy up. And who's done Millie's classes? So we know we got to keep the energy up, right? And so they're doing the same thing in this room. They're building this energy up to keep it going. And then aside from just the people that are there visiting, keeping the energy up, and they really ask you, please, only if you have to go to the bathroom or eat something, and then come right back. We need you. We need your energy. And then there's mediums there that work for him, too. And one of the things that he had done in the documentary was actually perform a surgery on somebody's eye with just a knife and no anesthesia. And, you know, he claims he's not doing it. So there's personal accounts of, I got to have a firsthand account when I came into church today, of somebody who firsthand knows someone who went there and was healed. So what a God story is that? What a gift that is to me to get to come in here and meet somebody who directly knows someone who received that healing from John of God. Thank you, God, for that. And so I thought the other interesting thing was that Brazil, so we have a lot of people from Brazil here, and Brazil has deep roots in shamanism and spiritism. So they are ready for spirit to work with you, or channeling healers and stuff like that. So they're very open to it too. So I think that helped John of God, you know, be able to do his work because people believe. So I watched that movie and I drank that water, and then that whole weekend, all I did was cry and cry and cry and cry. And I was like, I'm so sorry, Rita. You know, we were supposed to be having fun, and all I'm doing is crying. And I had reached the breaking point. I had been going and going and going and going and going and not opening my eyes because I was too busy. And I had too much to do, and I was responsible for too much stuff, and go, 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 because the whole world's telling me I'm supposed to be all these things. You know, you're supposed to work, you're supposed to be good at it, you're supposed to be a boss, and then you're supposed to be able to handle a household, and then you're supposed to be able to raise your children, and God forbid that you should drop the ball somewhere, because then let the self-criticism ensue, because now you haven't met somebody's need, or you didn't take advantage of an opportunity. I mean, how much can we take on? And I was carrying so much of my own garbage and then lots of other people's garbage, but I wasn't aware of it at the time. I just didn't know why I was so tired. And so God bless Rita for enduring me that weekend and giving me the patience and love and the compassion to really cleanse my soul with all that crying. And so when I left, I had the goal, I had three things that I wanted to do, three things I wanted to make priorities in my life. I wanted to make family number one, and then art, and then digging in the dirt. And that didn't matter what order those two went in, just as long as I can get those three things in. This is what's so important to me. And at the time, my youngest daughter, Vivian, was getting into gymnastics, and her schedule got really busy, and she's spending, you know, 10 hours a week. And so I'm very much wanting to be there to encourage this excitement for something in her. And you want to be there as a parent to do that. And so you do make those sacrifices of driving them. But then I looked for healthy places to trim the fat, basically. And so that's when I had to give up Wednesday nights, because Wednesday nights were the nights that we really all were home at, for a significant amount of time instead of just 1 hour. And I really wanted to give that gift to myself. But my heart was so just carrying the weight of wanting to be here, you know? That was really difficult. And then finding the place where why I wanted to be there, and whether it was that I felt obligated in some way, or that I really soulfully and heartfully wanted to be there. And sometimes it was one and sometimes the other. I'm being completely honest with you here. Because, you know, as Kimberly mentioned, Millie talks about having us be a part of the ministry, and that is a huge responsibility, and it's not something to be taken lightly. And I think at the point with which you realize what a tremendous amount of responsibility it is, you stop being like, at first when I started coming to the church, I would say, I would love to do that. I would jump at the chance to do that. But then I got to the place where I was like, ooh, that is a huge responsibility. I don't know if I'm ready for it. And then all of a sudden, Millie looked at me and goes, I think you might be ready. And I'm, no, I already decided I'm not ready. What? Ah! And then when you're around this church long enough, you know, how do you get invited to speak on Wednesday? How do you get invited to message bear? You don't know unless you ask, right? And so I had asked years ago, and Millie said, I said, well, how do you do the Wednesday night thing? She goes, oh, honey, I just wait and see who in my heart feels like, you know. Oh, okay. You know, so I had to ask, and I found out. And so that's kind of how it all works for Millie, and she's the pastor of the church. And so it's in God's time. And I was wondering what God's time was until I realized God's time is the time when you realize that you don't know if you can do God's work. And then at the same time, the board, the church elections were coming up, and we were called to serve, you know? I felt called to serve. And even though I had those priorities of family, art, dirt, I had to look at whether or not I needed to, you know, take a slight diversion on my priorities. And I had read a book called The Alchemist, and it's all about that personal legend and following that personal legend. And that he stopped and worked at that crystal shop for years. It didn't stop him from his personal legend. It enriched it. It added layers to it. It added the experience to it. So I felt like it was okay to go ahead and do the board. And so I volunteered to do the treasurer work. And what I realized in that was that I had taken on a tremendous amount of work that I had not considered whether or not I could fit it into my life. So now I had already trimmed Wednesdays, and I had desperately wanted just to be with my family and be with the art, and now I had to find a way to get up into the office and do all the work up there. And the QuickBooks is up there, and the bills are here. So there was amount of attachment that had to happen here. And where am I going to get the time to do that? And then pretty soon my friend started saying, I never see you anymore. And I'm like, I know, you know? And so I'm feeling like I'm not there, but I'm there, but I'm really not there. And I'm dealing with the guilt of taking a day off, but I'm not there. But if you're speaking the following week, and then you're not there, and then you're not there to support you. And so it just this chatter. And this is my walk. And so I'm, you know, that's a little thing that I'm digging at, right? And then at the same time, and this we're talking about this 1.5 year journey, at the same time, my daughter is 18, 19, 19 and a half, and she is driving me crazy. And I can't figure out how to communicate. I can't figure out how to communicate with her. And then it started to bleed over into my relationship with my husband, because God forbid he should take her side. And then it's a fight about who's the queen of the household. I'm the queen. You are not the queen. You know, and oh, the yelling and the oh, and the anger. And I behaved badly several times. I raised my voice. I screamed at her. I was ugly. And it was getting really raw, you know. And then the fights with the spouse about, okay, what's the priority here? And a friend of mine had said, I went through a similar experience. He had separated from his wife, had a teenage daughter, had remarried, And so he's reincorporating this teenage daughter with a new wife, and he's having to, people are taking sides. Let's just put it that way, right? And so the wife says to the husband, I'm your primary relationship, and I put out. You know? So I took the opportunity to bring that one home. So then I thought, I can't communicate with you people. There's something wrong with all of you people. And so I decided that I would drag everybody into the family therapist's office for her to tell them how messed up they were. And they need to stand up and buck up and pull some weight, right? And so that kind of happened. It did. But then what happened was after that session, and she helped me advocate for myself, and she helped me tell the family, I'm tired, I need help. But then later she says, you know, when do you have time, Jody, to come back and we'll chat? What? I thought something was wrong with them. Well, you see, she says, we women have this thing where we've got to do it all, right? You got to raise the kids, you got to throw the parties, you got to pay the bills, you got to do the work, and whatever else it is you're doing at home. Oh, right, you're cleaning too, right? I mean, I never heard of hiring a maid, and I haven't done it yet. I hear it's lovely. So, but I was always just did my own work. So we have all these, so we take this all on. And then pretty soon I'm going, nobody else is doing anything. And she says, but you've been doing it all. Well, I know, but they're not doing it. She goes, well, how do they know they're supposed to do it? I was like, well, you know, I yell at them. I tell them to do it, whatever. You know, my communication skills aren't that great at that point. And basically what she told me was, look, by you doing all these things, you are inadvertently and unknowingly sending the message to them that you don't think they're capable of doing it. So then I realized that I had dug myself a 20-year hole of telling people that they weren't capable of doing something, and I had 20 years of undoing to do. So I went back. I go back. I still go back because I'm working on it. Because the universe challenged me in those priorities. And so then, and it felt, so then I'm scraping away and I'm making raw all these areas of my life, my marriage, my relationship with my children, my work life. I won't even go into that, but I was manifesting at work what I was manifesting at home. Let me just say that, you know. I was doing the same thing at work. I wasn't giving people information. I was expecting things without saying what I needed, and I was sending the message that I didn't think people were capable. So, I mean, it was just reflecting in every area of my life. So now everything's raw, everything's real, and I'm completely broken down. Like, God, I'm a bag of, you know, bones. I feel useless, or I feel, you know, I'm dealing with all these feelings, and then the work, real work starts. So Millie talks about you got to do that life review. So then I looked at today, June 11th. It's this little meditation book. It says, life can only be understood backwards, but it must be lived forwards. Mm-hmm. Nearly all of us adult children have been advised, either personally or in our reading, to do some thinking about our family history. At first, we may hesitate or even stop right there. What's the point, after all? We remember how it was. What good will it do to carry on about it now? In spite of everything, many of us have intense loyalty to our parents. Why open up old wounds? The past is gone. Why rock the boat? That was me. But family of origin work is not about them. It's about us. The point is that we think about the past to better understand who we are, why we act the way we do, and where our feelings come from. Sorting through old events has just one purpose, to help us come away with insight into who we are and where we are. So that journey of kind of showing up in the therapist's office started a journey of looking at my childhood that I didn't really remember. And starting with just one event, just one traumatic event, from when I was either 12 or 13 years old. I had run wild as a kid. My parents just didn't have a concept of keeping us safe in that way. We were clothed and fed and very, very affectionately loved, but there was a safety factor that wasn't there. And so I got myself into trouble. I was with two 17-year-old boys, and I was drinking. And I can't tell you, I don't know what happened in the time between when I remember drinking and when I became aware of the fact that I was at home in the bath with my parents trying to keep me conscious and awake. And so it was a very traumatic experience, and it was something that I carried the shame for years and years and years. And I cried out several more times in that way and many other ways to try to get my parents to take opportunities to keep me safe. And insanity, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result, right? But you're a kid, you don't know that. And I didn't realize at the time that I was taking on the responsibility of keeping me safe, feeling like I had done something wrong, when really I needed to rely on my parents to keep me safe. I'm not passing judgment. I'm not saying they aren't wonderful people, but I'm saying that we all fall short in some way. And I acknowledge that there was that in that way that they fell short for me. And so dealing with that and looking back and the foundational beliefs that I carried forward into my life, and every day, every moment, every response was my needs and feelings are an inconvenience to others, and I am not worth the effort. That's what I learned. That's what I learned from my experiences, you know. And now I'm not saying that I didn't have really good experiences too. And I, like I said, there was love there, but I got myself into trouble, and it was not good. And it created these beliefs, these false beliefs, that I carried forward through my life. So it's a gift for me to have started that process of, you know, cleaning stuff out. And but it's been, I just really just wanted to share with everybody what's been going on. I mean, I checked in with Rita Gray today, and I was talking to her about everything that I had been doing, because I haven't talked to her for months. And she said, it's about speaking your truth. And I said, well, what does that look like? And she said, is it like me going and telling that guy over there that I didn't like what you did? Hey, turn off your phone. That bothers me, right? Is that speaking my truth? And she's like, no. Yeah, it is good. That's okay. Oh, my gosh. Yes. I love you. I listen to your phone ring all day. So speaking your truth is telling you guys where I am and how I'm feeling and what I'm going through. And I just want to share with you, because what I've discovered when I've shared this with other people is that they're either have had similar experiences, they're going through similar experiences, they know somebody's going through it, but inevitably somebody, we're all connected. So it's just really cool to like finally start to believe everything that people tell you about yourself, you know? And so people tell you how wonderful you are, how beautiful you are, what a light you are, and do you really believe it? And I'm here to tell you that sometimes it's really hard to believe it, especially if you have these old tapes playing that are telling you that you're not. But I'm starting to believe it. I'm really starting to believe all these things and letting go of those old lies. And I would hope, I guess my hope in sharing all this is that if anybody else is going through it, to give you the courage to talk about it. I think shining the light on stuff and speaking about things that happen and sharing what's happening with you. I'm not ashamed to say all the things that I've said tonight. I'm not afraid to tell all of you. You guys, I'm safe with you. And I feel safe sharing this with you, and I would hope that by sharing it, it gives you courage and it helps you heal a little bit, and maybe and help support me a little bit in my healing too. And I just really appreciate it. Again, I'm so grateful for the time and for you guys to be here to hear this. So thank you.